Would you rather play 5 games of Monopoly back to back, or 1 game of Twister, but it's with your parents and you're all in your underwear?
Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Sean Carter. I host this comedy debate show where I ask comedians ridiculous questions and then give them a minute to make their case, followed by a 30-second rebuttal. On top of this podcast, we also have a lot of material up on YouTube, so check it out, Pick a Side Stupid on YouTube. And if you're looking for even more episodes, go to our Patreon page. Just type in Pick a Side on Patreon. And for just $5 a month, you can get exclusive episodes.
Board games. Yeah. So, of course, we'll be talking a lot about Monopoly and Risk and stuff like that. All the favorites. My favorite board game as a kid was Mousetrap, which I played alone. Simply by setting it up and then watching. It was either that or dominoes. Those were the two things that I would do, is just set things up and then watch them fall into place. And I know you're probably thinking, like, oh, that's really sad you didn't have anybody play games with as a kid. I had two brothers. They just did not want to play board games. So I was left there alone setting up and devastating Mouse's Mises, mice dreams and lives. Does anybody here take board games too seriously at times? Couple people. Has anybody here ever flipped a board? Couple people. Okay. Everybody kind of looks like yes, absolutely.
I've
You burned a Ouija board?
Yeah, someone else's apartment. I want to give them ghosts.
I never burned. I did the Ouija board once, and I was really annoyed because everybody kept trying to fight what I was trying to do with it. I was trying to like spell out some like big words, and they didn't. They just wanted to go to yes or no. They'd be like, are you a ghost? And I'd be like, ostensibly. All right, so all of tonight's questions will be based on board games somehow. They're inspired by them. You don't have to know a ton of specifics about the games, but if you do, that could help you in your debate. So I'll explain the rules in case you don't know or you're listening to this for the first time. Two people will come up here to debate. The person that goes first gets to decide which side of the topic they're on. Each person gets a minute in the first round to make their case, and then 30 seconds in the second round to make their case. I think that's it. So if you come up first, you have to beat everybody to win for the night. If you come up here last, you only have to win once.
Who decides?
Who decides whether you win or lose? Oh, that's me. I am the only judge. I'm the only judge in this, and I will decide each round by myself. And as a crowd, if you agree with me, I want you to clap when I make my decision, when I announce it. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. That's what it should sound like when I make a decision that you agree with. When you disagree with my decision, you should boo.
No way.
That's the fastest you guys have ever done that. So, first up tonight, could we please have Ryan Shea and Jay Baggett? So, Ryan, you've done this show more than Jay, so I'll let you choose whether you go first or second.
I'll go second.
Second. Okay, Jay, your question is from Ben Quick. It says, what's better, being a chess champion or having friends as a child?
being a chess champion. When I was just 8 years old, my parents put me up for adoption, and the only place I had to go was the chess field. Unfortunately, it took many years, but finally someone took me in and raised me as a chess champion. I didn't need friends because I had a family. I had the chess family. And I think what you really need is family. Friends growing up, do you even know who the friends you were, the friends you had growing up? I don't remember any of them. They're on Facebook, but who gives a fuck about that? Chess, all the way, from the bottom of my heart. If only I could meet my parents and tell them that.
Guys, I can't argue that.
I'm out.
Okay, Jay, you have 30 seconds if you want to use it.
I just can't.
All right, Ryan, you have 30 seconds.
She's from Worcester. That's my only argument.
And now we know why she didn't have parents. Well, I gotta hand the win to Jay Baggett. Thank you for playing, Ryan Shay. Next up, could we please have Chris Gagne? Jay, you won the first round, so I'll let you choose whether you go first or second. Second, okay. Let me pick a question here randomly. Okay. Oh, I can't give you this question. This is your own question. You wrote that question. I'll save that for later. Okay. Okay, this question is from J.J. Buckland. It says, which did a better job glamorizing world domination for kids? The game Risk or the show Pinky and the Brain?
I'm going to go with the game Risk. Only because that's the name of the game. You go out, you conquer countries you can't fucking pronounce. When you conquer the country, you can call it whatever you want. Kamchatka? No, that's Kumquat now. Pinky and the Brain, they failed every single time. They never inspired kids. They taught you that, okay, it's okay to be a loser. As long as you're an adorable mouse that has been genetically altered, right? You can get some friends, play some Risk, and nobody gets hurt. Nobody ends up in a lab. Nobody has their genes spliced.
Okay. You know I asked the question because he stared at me the whole time.
All right, Jay, you have 1 minute.
I think my argument is that I don't remember playing Risk, and I remember it sucking a lot. So I don't remember anything that I got from that. It certainly wasn't world domination, especially as a child. But what I do remember from, what was it, Ren and Stimpy? Pinky and the Brain. I remember. Is that what are we going to do today?
Take over
the world. And that's what stuck with me. And I think that left a little bit more of a impact. But that's just me. I don't know about you guys.
The only losers we should be rooting for right now is from the movie and the book It, The Losers Club, okay? Pinky and the Brain were losers, okay? They were losers. Yeah, sure, you remember it because anybody remember a fight at school? You always remember the kid that got beat to shit, right? Right? I've had some fights over Risk, and that's been more memorable than, I don't even know, how many seasons was Pinky and the Brain on? Nobody knows. JJ, if you know, then the question is valid, but if it's not, then you must have quit.
This is the furthest I've gotten, and I really just want to watch him keep going, so thank you.
All right, well, Chris Gagne is our winner this round. Next up, could we please have Jacob Noble? Yeah. Jacob Noble.
Tough day for the judge today.
The cats against clapping.
So... Oh, yeah. Chris, you won the last round, so you get to choose whether you go first or second here.
Second, please.
Second, okay. So, Jacob, your question. This is the one that I had to skip last time because Jay wrote it. Is Ouija board a harmless family game or a tool of the devil?
Well, it's clearly a tool of the devil. I don't know how many of you have spent many lonely nights with yourself in the dark with a couple candles and saw what that board told you, answer some questions you might have had about life, your family, yourself, and, you know, everyone's been freaked out by that board. Whether you believe it or not, people just don't like it. In fact, I actually have an Alkaline Trio Ouija board, and an ex-girlfriend of mine would never let me bring it over. So people aren't afraid of, the family thing? Yeah, families aren't playing a Ouija board together.
If you had a family that loved you, you'd play Ouija with them. I had a younger brother. That was a family-friendly game. And I would scare the shit out of my brother all the time. I would move it slightly, and I would get him to the point where he'd really think there's a ghost. He'd run to my parents, and my parents would have to explain to him, it's just a game. You know what hasn't happened? I haven't been fucking possessed yet. Okay? I played that shit a lot. I've seen the movie Ouija a lot. And let me tell you, it's factually inaccurate, okay? All right? Because you don't get a group of teenagers to do it, okay? Plus, there was no sex in that movie, all right? That's how you know Ouija is a family-friendly game.
Let's put this back where it belongs. Clearly, it's not a family-friendly game because you don't see church groups getting together and having discussions over their weekend Ouija board playing days. They don't have Ouija board clubs. In fact, most people don't want to even touch the board. We heard Ryan sit here and say that he lights them on fire to leave ghosts in everyone's homes that he's at. So clearly, it's possessed by the devil.
Never met a Ouija board that I couldn't control there. Now, I'm not saying that I might be Satan, because I'm not, but I know for a fact that I'm not haunting anybody, nobody's haunting me. The reason why church groups don't talk about it is because they would rather take your money, okay? You know what I'm going to do with that money? I'm going to buy 13 Ouija boards. 13. Not 666. 13. I'll let you sit on that one.
All right, I got to hand the win to Chris Gagney. Thanks for playing, Jacob. Next up, could we please have Ben Quick? Chris, do you want to go first or second?
Second, please.
Okay, so, Ben, your question is from Danny Yellen. Danny asks, would you rather play 5 games of Monopoly back to back, or 1 game of Twister, but it's with your parents and you're all in your underwear?
I would rather play 5 games of Monopoly back to back to back to back to back because it's a family game and my younger brother still has a perfectly good prescription to Adderall. And as long as I can continue to access that prescription, I will roll through Monopoly and win 5 games in a row. And then I will laugh at him because he'll never be better than me in any goddamn game ever played in the world, even if I'm crushing his own pills to beat him. I don't give a shit.
When have you ever gotten through 1 game of Monopoly? All right? How long do you know? How long does it take to play a game of Monopoly? You know how long it takes to take a game of Twister? As long as I fucking want it to be, right? I don't care if I'm in my underwear. Right foot red. Oh, look, Dad's got a boner. I guess I can end this whenever I want, right? Like, you have to sit through 5 games of Monopoly. There's no limit on to when you... I don't have to win Twister. I win when I go put my pants on. 5 games in a Monopoly, that's okay. You know what Monopoly teaches you? It teaches you how to flip a board easily. After 5 games, you might get a cardboard cut. I don't know. But let's say for the sake of argument that you do play an entire game of Twister. Now you've bonded as a family. That's the kind of love I need in my life. Or it would prevent my parents from ever talking to me again, which is also a bonus.
All right, first of all, I don't care how long the game of Monopoly is. 1 moment of a naked family Twister game is enough to need way longer than that in therapy. You understand? I could give up any amount. No one's ever had PTSD from being bored for too long. I saw my dad dicks once when I was 6, and I still remember it like it was yesterday. I don't want to even come close to that again. You even brought up you would be okay with seeing his boner and then stopping the game? I've thrown up and quit life by that point, and I'm planning my suicide.
Sure, go ahead, take the easy way out. Sit around a table for five games of Monopoly, or you can make yourself a man. Reach deep down inside and see what you're really made of. Maybe you find out you're flexible, and then it leads to a whole career of Olympic gymnastics. You never know. You got Adderall, you'll forget about Twister. You'll forget all about it, and you'll become closer with your brother anyway. So.
All right, I gotta hand the win to Chris Gagne. Excellent debate there.
Hey, it's your host, Sean Carter. Just wanted to take a quick break and invite you to our next live show. It is Friday, December 1st at Maggie's Lounge in Quincy, 7 p.m. And as always, feel free to join our Facebook group, Pick a Side, Stupid. Now let's jump right back into the action here with Chris Gagne and James Corbett.
Next up, could we please have James Corbett? James Corbett.
I'm intimidated.
Chris, you can choose whether you go first or second.
I think that would be, make an excellent game.
Second.
Okay. This is a question that has to do with the game Candyland. You guys are familiar, yeah? Okay. Which would be more difficult to traverse? Gumdrop Mountains or a molasses swamp?
Easily, the molasses swamp would be harder to traverse. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. The gumdrop mountain at least has some integrity to it. You can walk on it, or you know, but swimming through a vat of sugary liquid, I don't see that going well. That's all I have.
Okay, Chris.
Have you ever had a gumdrop in your life? You know what gumdrops are coated in? They're coated in sugar. You know what happens when you rub your hands around the gumdrop? Sugar fucking falls apart. You try to climb a mountain of gumdrops, you're going to die maybe halfway up, three quarters of the way up. With molasses, you can trod your way through, be nice and slow. I'm fat. I'm not climbing anywhere, okay? All right? I can have a nice little jaunt through molasses. I can maybe, like, it's delicious. You're getting diabetes no matter what. But I can at least take my time. No one has any expectations of whether or not I'm going to make it, all right? I'm not climbing a goddamn thing, okay? I don't know about you. Maybe you got the upper body strength of me. you got maybe like 100 pounds less than me. So maybe you could traverse it. Or, I don't know. I can't do that. I don't know who... You wanted to do a whole mile of monkey bars. You think you're going to climb up a gumdrop goddamn mountain?
I can do it.
Okay.
All right, James, you have 30 seconds.
All right. Chris is a former fat guy. I took all that into consideration. And what I was thinking was, on the way up the mountain, you have a snack to chow on. You know, that sugar rush will keep you going. Whereas you trying to make it through the molasses is just all... You're just killing yourself, you know? You're going to drown in syrup. Okay, that's
I'll sit down. Don't worry about it.
You ever been to a swamp? I've trotted through a swamp before of regular water. Didn't go past my knees. I don't think I'm going to drown in molasses anytime soon. A snack going up the mountain? I just told you, I can eat molasses anywhere. Have you ever gone to Topsfield Fair and get the honey sticks? Oh, yeah, I have. All right? Plus, you're putting bees to work. You want to take bees out of the equation? I'm going through the fucking molasses swamp every goddamn time.
All right, I got to hand the win to Chris Gagne. Chris is...
Right? Like the great molasses flood happened 3 miles north.
And if they would have fucking eaten it, nobody would have died.
Yeah, the great molasses flood did happen here in Boston.
Holy
the great
shit.
Molasses
this
flood. The great molasses flood. The molasses was moving at 30 miles an hour.
Wow.
A swamp does not move at 30 miles an hour, Bill.
Nobody ever challenges the gumdrop mountain. That's why you hear no deaths.
Well, it was also boiling hot. Like, the swamp yeah. Probably
molasses don't fuck around.
Next week, we'll be talking about the molasses flood of Boston.
I fell in a hot swamp once. It
sucked. Next up, could we please have Katie Baker? Chris, do you want to go first or second?
Second, please.
No.
I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. Of these two 90s board game revivals, which one sounded more weirdly sexual? Ants in the Pants or Don't Wake Daddy? That was mine.
I think that the more unforgivably overtly sexual would be Don't Wake Daddy, because it's a known BDSM phrase of saying daddy, and it's shameful, and it is clearly alluding to sexual things, whereas ants can do no wrong. They are just, they are themselves and have no interest in what's in your pants.
Katie, I'd like to direct your attention to a couple of fetishist websites out there. When I think of Don't Wake Daddy, I think of I'm coming home at 1 a.m. I hope he doesn't beat me. Ants in the Pants, you're a woman, I'm a guy. You don't want to answer in a certain place. I don't want to answer in a fucking certain place, okay? But there are people that do get off to that, all right? I mean, stick your dick in an anthill. Maybe you don't tell anybody about it. Overtly. I mean, come on. It's how can you not think of with Ants in the Pants... unless it's fire ants. That's even a hell of a lot more
fire
sexual.
Crotch.
Fire, exactly. You can do a redhead without doing a redhead. I'm just saying, not natural, I assume. So, not trying to point anybody out and put anybody on the spot. I'm not getting beaten by my dad. That's what I think of. That's dad, I'll be home soon.
With the ants, it being within the garment, there's no implied wrongdoing or risk. Whereas with Don't Wake Daddy, if there's a reason why we shouldn't be waking him, something's a little fishy going on there.
I just told you, Daddy has a really mean right hook. Ants in the Pants obviously is a hell of a lot more sexual because you're obviously talking about pants. You're trying to get kids to say, hey, look, reach in the pants. Let's see what happens. Is it an ant or is it my boner? I don't know. You're teaching kids that it's okay to go fishing around in some random stranger's pants. Daddy can teach you otherwise, okay? Or he'll beat the sense into you.
All right. Excellent debate. I think I got to hand the win to Katie Baker. Hell of a run out of Chris.
Are you saying ants or aunts? Like it's not aunts in your pants.
Ants, not aunts, Bill.
Well,
not aunts.
Say aunts.
Aunts in the ponds.
I like that.
Next up, could we please have Danny Yellen? Okay, Katie, you can choose whether you go first or second.
Second.
Okay. Danny. You're in the hospital for day surgery. Your surgeon is a 9-year-old. Which would you rather have them attempt to remove? Your Adam's apple or broken heart?
I think I'm going to go with the broken heart. Just because it hurts me a lot more. I think I'm more willing to accept the risks of... my inexperienced surgeon. I think my Adam's apple is fine the way it is. You know, no need to do anything about that.
All right. Folks, if I have an Adam's apple, there's something wrong. And regardless of how old or inexperienced my surgeon is, it's at least she knows that it shouldn't be there. It'd be like that scene in Prometheus where she's trying to get the alien baby out of her, but the machine's only for males, and she's just hitting a bunch of buttons, and at least it's something.
You have 20 seconds left.
I think that I think that if I got the heart surgery from the 9-year-old, it might kill me, and that might be okay. So
time.
If with me, I think I'd be happy having a broken heart because I could use that to do emotional stuff. Whereas with the Adam's apple, it's I just would trust that there would be less risk involved than to have this poor little girl try to fix my emotions.
All right. Well, Danny, you really packed the motion to that one little line there, and you know this room. I want to die jokes go over real well. Real well with this group. But I think on balance, Katie was more effective. I got to hand the win to Katie Baker there. Next up, could we please have Liam McGurk? Okay. Katie, do you want to go first or second? Second. Okay. Oh, let's stick with the game operation for a minute here. This question is from Ben Quick. Ben asks, what is the better use of operation? A game for kids or a sobriety test to see if you've done too much cocaine? Okay, you're going with cocaine.
Okay, well, I imagine it would be a great sobriety test for cocaine because if I am correct, this person will just be going for the thing. Even though he is clearly just buzzing the shit out of the sides, he's still continuing to go for the item inside of it, and then he may just rip it open, just rip the whole thing open, take out all the pieces, and then eat those pieces. And then, because he hasn't slept, begin to operate on himself with a kitchen knife that he has found in his drawer, which he's always known in the back of his mind that he was probably going to do this.
All right, Katie, you have 1 minute.
Operation is a fun game for children because people who are on cocaine, they just don't have time for that shit, and they get the rage and just keep that stuff away from them. They only want more cocaine. Give the operation to the kids.
All right, Liam, you have 30 seconds.
I think it is a great test to see if your child is on cocaine.
I think that all the little beeps and pieces and buzzes aren't as good. You can just pee in a cup, and it's simpler technology to find that, and you don't have to get all coked up on the board game. And I certainly do not recommend urinating on an operation board game to test for cocaine. At least at the end of the day, you know that you helped this guy with his little fake body part problems.
All right. Excellent debate. I hand the win to Liam McGurk. Thank you for playing, Katie. Great run. Next up, could we please have J.J. Bucklin? Okay, Liam, do you want to go first or second? Okay, Liam is going second. JJ, your question is Monopoly Man or Professor Plum? Who would you rather take as a lover?
This is easy.
I'm going to pick Monopoly Man. Mostly because I don't think I ever actually played Clue. And I think I'd just rather go with the known than the unknown, even if that known happens to be the Monopoly Man. He's got money, you know? If I'm good enough in bed with old Mr. Monopoly Man, maybe he keeps me around a little while. I don't have cable. He's probably got HBO all the channels. He knows his way around town. Boardwalk, Park Place, Baltic Avenue, even if I'm trying to slum it that night. Mr. Monopoly, he'll take me around. He'll show me a good night. And, you know, like I said, if I'm lucky, maybe he'll keep me around. And I'm more of a long-term commitment type of guy, okay? And Professor Plum just seems like, I don't know what he's doing with those students. If he teaches students, again, I don't know much about the
time.
Guy.
I wouldn't even date Professor Plum. I would just hit him in the dining room with my candlestick. I would use every inch of that Clue Mansion with every sick thing in it. The rope. I would use a saw. I would use the gun. I would use the big shears. I would go down and I would unbuckle his professor pants and take out his Mensa dick. And then I would say, "You killed her."
Okay. You know, Mr. Monopoly knows how to get down as well. You got irons and thimbles that are kind of like butt plugs. Fuck it, let's get the dog involved. Let's get freaky, guys.
Okay, Liam, you have 30 seconds.
If you look at the outline of Mr. Monopoly Man, and this has been studied, he was clearly drawn without genitalia. Whereas Professor Plum, that guy has a big, raging, hard metal pipe. I'd fuck him, because he'd fuck me on Boardwalk. See, Mr. Monopoly would probably just take you to, like, Baltic. And then just drop you.
Time. All right. Well, this is a really fun debate. I hate to have to pick a winner here, but I think I have to go with J.J. Buckland. It's a tough call, but just that get the dog involved thing, I think. That's what did it right there. That put you over the top. Next up. Could we please have Amama Sardar? Okay, JJ, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. Which causes more anxiety? The timer ticking away on the game perfection? Or having a cop drive behind you for 10 miles?
Guys, welcome to the affirmative action portion of tonight's debate. With that being said, it's the cop driving behind you for 10 minutes. I don't think I need to explain this any further, or else it's going to be like some weird like social justice warrior debate. It will fight you on Twitter and Facebook and all that. No, it's a cop. I'm brown. There's no way. I would rather have the timer going. I would rather have 5 timers going and have a cop right behind me and then have to, like, speak perfect English because I can't.
I'm white. And I do get stressed out by perfection. I shut down when that timer's clicking. When a cop's behind me, if I'm in my hometown, I probably know the guy. Either that or he knew my dad. Okay.
I've never seen a less proud white man. I might. I don't know. I feel like, is your definition of perfection like the elimination of the brown race, too? Or like you make you feel as uncomfortable as possible. Yeah, you're white.
Before I go, I do just want to point out that I why are all the pegs in life cisgender?
All right. I have to hit the window. Amama Sardar, thank you for playing, JJ. Next up, could we have our final debater of the evening, Ted Pettingell? Well, Amama, you can choose which second. Okay. So, Ted, your question is, Jumanji or Candyland, which game would you rather be trapped inside of?
Given the choice between Jumanji or Candyland, would definitely go Jumanji. Because, you know, what's in Jumanji? Lions, tigers, monsoons, whatever. You know who builds an entire land made out of candy? Pedophiles. Nothing but pedophiles wearing their candy cane suits. How do I always bring it back to kid fucking?
If you like pedophiles, I feel like Candyland's a perfect place to be. I don't, but since I'm going to lose anyway, let me just tell you. I would rather be in Candyland because Jumanji was too close to my life. Like, growing up, I used to play games with rocks and used to hit the rocks really hard and then, like, run around and have, like, animals chase you in the villages of Pakistan. Yeah, no joke. So I'm going to go with Candyland because of pedophiles over, like, lions and tigers and... Yeah. Plus, I'm not like 5.
I'm not 5 either. But look at this face. listen, trying to avoid carbs. Nothing but carbs in Candyland. And Jumanji, a jungle filled with lean protein. There for the taking of the strongest. By the strongest, whatever.
Time!
I think Candyland's more sugar than carbs. It's just like a little side note. But like, do you really, really want to be running around like a lion and like this guy who's like a hunter, like, all the time? Like, don't you want to just chill and be in, like, a river of molasses and, like, a gumdrop mountain and all that good stuff? I don't know. No pedophiles, though.
All right. I got to hand the win to Amama Sardar. Hey, that's our show for this week. Thank you so much for listening. You can check out our videos on YouTube. Just go onto YouTube and type in Pick a Side, Stupid. Or for exclusive bonus episodes, head on over to Patreon and then type in Pick a Side. And for just $5 a month, you'll get all kinds of bonus features. You can find a schedule of upcoming dates for shows, for live shows, at our website, pickasidestupid.com. My name is Sean Carter. I will see you next week.